Once again, it's a joy to be able to share the Word of God with you. And we're looking at Isaiah chapter 40. And we're looking at the God that brings comfort in all of our trouble. A God that wants to help us and meet us at our point of need. And certainly a lot of people are going through difficult times right now. And we want you to be comforted by the Word of God, by the word that the prophet Isaiah received is comfort to us thousands of years later. And the same God that brought Israel comfort in their trouble meets us and wants to give us comfort in our time of trouble. I'm sure you're reaching out to God right now. We all are. And this is a challenging time. I have found that these days have been difficult for me and for my family, and I'm sure for you. And it's been great to find that God meets me and meets you at your point of need. And the Bible says that when we reach out to God, Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Right now, God wants to meet with you. He wants to speak into your life. He wants to encourage you, and he wants to help you. The Bible says that God is a God of all comfort, and he wants to comfort us and help us in our time of need. Now, one of my fears is that while we go through this difficulty, that we begin to trust in our abilities as opposed to finding God. We need to seek him, and we'll find him. But if we are trusting in our intelligence and in our resources and our goodness, we're not going to find the Lord. In Psalms 33, I think there's a good word of challenge, a word that confronts the arrogance of humanity when they begin to trust in themselves. There it says, "No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength." So we don't want to trust in our might and in our strength. The next verse, Psalms 33, verse 17, says this, "A horse is a vain hope for safety." A horse was a symbol of strength and might, and any army of Old Testament time that had the horses was a strong army. Well, the horse is a vain hope for safety. It goes on to say, "Neither shall it deliver any by its strength." We're going to be delivered from this by God's strength and with God's help, meeting us at our point of need. Even when we think about all the talent and all the ability and all the human intelligence, all of that comes from God. So when we discover a cure, that cure came from God. When we are able to produce enough tests, it is because of the strength that God's given us, the resources that God has given us. Everything comes from the Lord. We want to look to him and then give him glory and give him praise. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 48:11 says, "I will not give my glory to another." God wants to get the glory. He should receive the glory because he is a mighty and strong God. Remember the text of scripture we really know well. It comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Don't trust in yourself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So when you're going through a difficult time, as you're maybe confused and struggling, look to the Lord. Trust in him. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. There's so much of this that's beyond our understanding, and we certainly need the Lord. Now, the child of God has the benefit of the presence of God. And as you're journeying through this, if tonight you're listening to me, and you don't have a relationship with God, I want to encourage you that God loves you and wants relationship with you. And he sent his son Jesus that we would have forgiveness and that we'd have his presence and his help in time of need. And it might be that you're seeking the Lord. And I encourage you, place your faith in Christ. You'll become a child of God. You'll have a new mind to know God, a new heart to love God, and a new will to obey God. And the child of God has the presence and the power of God. I want to read the words of Jesus that come from the Gospel of John chapter 14. And if you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn there just for a moment. Because in John 14, he speaks about the benefits of being a child of God. And here, these are the words of Jesus. And Jesus says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Remember, Jesus had journeyed with his disciples. He was with them. And he was getting ready to leave, but he said, "I'm going to pray to my holy heavenly Father, and he's going to give you another comforter, someone to help you, someone to assist you." Now, he talks about who this helper and comforter is. He says, "He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." So if you are a child of God, you have the Spirit of God, the Comforter, that's going to come and comfort you. If you're not yet a child of God, through faith in Jesus, you can receive him and have the presence of God and the power of God. The comfort of God can be your comfort today through faith in Jesus. So seek him and find him. Now, we've been talking about the God of all comfort. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 40, and we want to look at the very first verse of Isaiah chapter 40. Listen to what it says. It says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Cry out to her." So here we find that God is a God of comfort that wants to comfort his people. He wants to bring comfort. In fact, in the Bible, he is called the God of all comfort. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, we referred to it a couple weeks ago. We're going to read it again, where it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." That's who God is, a God of comfort. So if you're upset, God wants to comfort you. If you're alone, God wants to meet with you and bring his presence and his help into your life. He is called the God of all comfort. Now, when he comforts us, we're able to comfort others. And man, the world needs comfort right now. I need comfort. You need comfort. Well, God, our Creator God up in heaven, wants to comfort us. He wants to help us. And it goes on to say in that 2 Corinthians text, in chapter 1, in verse 4, it says, this is what God does. Listen, "Who comforts us in all," not some, "all our tribulation." He wants to meet us at our point of tribulation. It might be you're fearful about becoming sick. It might be that you have a loved one that's lost their job and lost their income. And you need God to meet you and comfort you in your tribulation. It goes on to say that we, with the comfort we receive, might be able to help others. We want to be in a place that we can help others. When God comforts us, we're able to help others. That's great. This week, I hope that as we read the Word and study the Word, you'll be comforted and be able to comfort others also. Now, God has told us we're supposed to comfort each other. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Therefore, comfort each other." In verse 14 of the same chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, it says, "Comfort the faint-hearted." So not only do we want to be comforted, but we want to comfort others. And until we're comforted, we can't comfort others. Who's going to comfort us? God is going to comfort us. He wants to meet you, and he wants to comfort you and help you. Now, we have an outline. We're working through, developing little by little, and you're going to see that outline in just a moment. I'm going to find it here. And we saw 2 weeks ago that God has a plan. His plan is to bring us comfort and to help us. Last week, we talked about you doing your part of welcoming the ministry that God has to bring. The picture is a picture of a path that's full of valleys that need to be lifted up, mountains that need to be reduced, and crooked ways that need to be made straight. And it's a picture of giving a king's welcome to the Lord. What kind of welcome are you giving to the Lord in your life? Are there things that are keeping him from being welcomed into your life? Well, let's read the scripture that talks about us, preparing the way. It's in verses 3-5, the preparation. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, and look at verse 3. It says, prepare, I love the line, prepare the way of the Lord. Do you see it? Prepare the way of the Lord. Make ready for the Lord to come into your life. Maybe you haven't needed him. Maybe for a long time you've been pretty independent. You've been trusting in your health, trusting in your wealth, trusting in your job. You've had your plans. You've had control over things. And all of a sudden, suddenly there's a virus that blows it all away. And your health, you're not sure about your health. Your wealth, maybe you've lost your job. All the props are knocked out. Now, let me just say that God has a purpose, something good to bring out of this difficulty. And one of the things he wants to do is get you in a place where you and him are close again, that he has welcome into your life. He's removing idols, things we're trusting in. Remember, the Bible says to have no other God before him. And these little gods become barriers between us and God. So prepare the way of the Lord. Last week we read a verse that from Psalms 139. I think it's a good verse for us to talk about how do we prepare our lives so that God will have greater liberty, greater welcome. And Psalms 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Listen to this. See if there's any wicked way in me." That's my prayer for me tonight and for you. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlastings. What obstacles are keeping God from his presence and power having full reign in your life and working in your life? Prepare the road. Raise up the valleys, lower the mountains, and make the way straight so God can have greater welcome into your life. Well, let's look at that third point, and talks about perspective. Israel was discouraged because they were oppressed by other nations. Now, we're oppressed by a virus, and we need to put it in perspective. One of the things that this virus has done is given us perspective. It's helped us to see the frailty of humanity. Now, perspective comes from in verses 6-8. And let's just read it, look at it together as we study the word. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6. The voice said, "Cry out." So a prophet was to come to make a proclamation. Well, here, the scriptures speak something to us, cries out to us. The word of the prophet still speaks today. We hear God speak, and they have something that they're going to cry out. The idea is this is something that's important for you and I to hear. That's why God's crying out. Please listen to what the Lord is saying. Get perspective on your frailty and my frailty. I hear people talk about, you know, I'm okay and this thing isn't going to get me and I'm healthy and I got enough wealth. You know what? Hear the word of the Lord. Hear what he has to say. This is a voice that is crying out. And what is it crying out? And he said, what shall I cry? The prophet said, what am I supposed to say? And here it is. All flesh is as grass. Mere mortal. We're all mere mortals. I tell you, this has shaken the world. Think about the radical change in a matter of just a few days. How quickly, I mean, you can be, arrogant and pompous and suddenly get a diagnosis from a doctor and it shakes your world. It rattles your cage. This has shaken the whole world. Has been shaken by this virus. And I think it's crying out to us as to the frailty of humanity. That's the idea of this line, all grass, all flesh is as grass. We're as fragile and frail as grass. Grass can go from being, green to a few days of drought to be dark and die. Well, that's the idea here. All flesh is as grass. Its loveliness is as the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. Well, guess what? In just a moment in time, God can blow the grass away. The next line says, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Now, why would this help Israel? Well, they were oppressed by a nation. Guess what? God could take care of that nation in a heartbeat. God can handle man because he created man. He is creator. We're merely creatures. He's eternal and everlasting. Our human bodies are temporal. And so they were overwhelmed by these powerful foreign forces. Well, we're overwhelmed by a foreign force. A virus that we can't control. It's scary to think about how it can get from one person to another person. It's something we can't control. Guess what? God is greater. God is over all of this. When we say God has this, he has this. And he has a time and he has a purpose for this. But God has this. This concept of the frailty of humanity is given over and over and over again in Scripture. Let me give you a couple quick texts. Psalms 103, verses 15 and 16 says the very same thing. As for man, his days is like the grass. As a flower of the field, so it flourishes. The wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place is remembered no more. The same thing is said in 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25. And also, the same concept is given in the New Testament, in the book of James, where he says in James chapter 4, verse 14, you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? Listen to this. It is even a vapor that appears for a time and then vanishes away. What's the perspective we need to get? Man's fragile. Man's fragile. And God is powerful and in control and eternal. And it's him that we need to turn to. So proclamation, our next point in our outline, as we look at that, if you can pop that up, please. Thank you. Plan, God wants to bring comfort. Preparation, you do your part to welcome the Lord into your life. Perspective, man is mere man, but God is creator God. And the last part, I actually forgot to read an important little line there, which comes at the end of verse 8. Listen to what it says. And if you could put Isaiah 40 text up in verse 8, it says, for the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. God's word is eternal. So it's not man and what he says, it's God and what he says. So we have the truth of the word of God, and we have the presence of the Spirit, which is called the Spirit of truth. So we have God's word and God's truth, which is greater than anything man says. So doom and gloom, you know, this is all, you know, the end of the world. Well, guess what? God is in control. He'll say how long this is going to last, and he is a God that has this. His word stands forever and is greater than man's word. And so there was those that were threatening Israel, but God's word said, I'm with you. I'm going to take care of you. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Guess what? Don't listen to all the lies. The lies that says, you know, God has forgotten you, or God doesn't love you, or God isn't going to care for you. God's word stands forever. What does God say? God says, I am with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm your shepherd, and I'm going to take care of you. In fact, there's going to be some strong proclamation about who God is in the next verses. But the prophet was to bring good tidings. As we look at our outline now, we'll go to our outline. And we're looking at the overall outline of the whole chapter. And we're looking at proclamation, verses 9 through 11. Now, this is important. In our next few minutes, as we begin to wrap things up this weekend, we're going to talk about proclamation. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity that you and I have to give hope and to give a testimony to God's faithfulness, for you to experience comfort from the Lord and share that comfort with others. The prophet was to bring a positive message to a group of people that were in a dark place. That's what was happening with Israel. That's what's happening today. We need to bring a message of hope, that God is a God that has this and a God that wants to bring comfort and help in time of need. I think there's a lot of people that are outside of a relationship with God, don't have the presence of God. The benefit of being a child of God is his presence in our life and his ministry. And some of us haven't been connecting, haven't been very close. There's been a lot of things between us and God, and now we need to get those things out of the way and once again draw near to God. What does the Bible say? Draw near to God and he'll what? Draw near to you. And so we need him. And so what's the proclamation? Well, it's good news. And the world is dying to hear some good news. And the good news is that God has this. God holds you and me in the palm of his hands, that by him all things consist. He created this world and he holds it together. Our health never held it together. Our might never held it together. Our 401k wasn't what held our lives together. It is God that holds it together. God is going to hold me and hold you now and until we step into his presence. And there is a day that we're born and a day that we die. But God will be with us when we were born, and he's with us now, and he'll be with us whenever he decides. He decides that you and I are supposed to go. Don't be afraid of when that is. He's got that under control. And he has an eternity for us to learn and grow and be with him. Well, this is a good proclamation. Look what it says. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. O Zion, that was the city of Jerusalem, the place of hope, the holy city. For you and I, it's the child of God. O Zion, you who brings good tidings, get up into the mountain high. Get up to the high mountain. You have such good news to proclaim. You need to get in a place where everybody's going to be able to hear it. Get ready. God's giving us a bullhorn, you know. We have an opportunity to shout who God is and what God can do. Go Zion, you know. I have good news for you. You who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. This is not a time to be silent. This is a time for us to shout out that, you know, God is there for us and that people need the Lord. And he is the strong tower in time of need. We haven't been looking to him. We haven't been depending on him like we should. This should be a time of repenting from that and turning to him and then turning others to him. Lift up your voice. How? Lift up your voice. Meekly, quietly? No. With strength. Here it's with a confidence in God. Now, when you have something that works, a diet that works, and you're skinny and you were fat, then people will go, man, what are you doing? You're losing weight. Well, then you'll speak about that diet plan with excitement. This thing works. If you're doing an exercise program and you're finding strength, people are looking at you and going, man, you're looking pretty good. What's going on? Well, I've been using this exercise program. Something good is happening. You tell others about it. Well, when good things are happening between you and God in troubled times, you're going to tell others about it. You have good news to proclaim. Make a proclamation. Now, what are you going to do? Well, lift up your voice. Don't be afraid. You know, and what are you going to do? You're going to tell people, look to God. Look to God. That's what we need to be proclaiming. People, don't look at me. Don't look at, you know, thankful for our country, thankful for our leaders. I'm thankful for our military might. I'm thankful for all of that, but that's not where our trust is. Our trust is in God. Look to God. Look what it says. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. My proclamation to you this weekend is, behold your God. Look to God. Look up. Remember what the psalmist said in Psalms 121? I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Where does my help come from? From the Lord which made heaven and earth. That's a beautiful verse. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Essentially, the psalmist or the prophet here is saying, you know, make a proclamation about the strength of God, the might of God. This is what people need to hear. Don't just reiterate what cable news is telling you. You know, that's not where hope is found. Hope is found in the Lord. So this week, I hope that you'll spend more time with God, draw close to him, and that he will give you the strength that he has to offer you. I'm going to close with a text from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 13. This is my prayer for you. Now may the God of hope, he's the God of hope. The word hope is a confident expectation, something you can really trust in, the God we can trust in. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, that you'll literally, in dark days, find joy in the Lord. You're in his presence. You're with him. He is with you. Will fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. Not just have a little bit of hope. Abound in hope. It's my prayer that you would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Child of God, you have the Spirit of God in you, and he wants to comfort you and help you in your time of need. God, thank you for your word from the prophet Isaiah. It's relevant to us today. We need to be comforted by you. And Lord, I pray that we would, Lord, trust that you're with us and receive your ministry, that we would remove anything that's keeping you from having full freedom and liberty in our lives working. Lord, that we would make proclamation of the greatness of our God. Bless your people this week. Bring them your comfort and your peace. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks.